Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me a beautiful sister. Feel her energy. She's just gorgeous heart, Anne Hintz. And among the many things Anne is in her multidimensional self, she has a book called A Pathway to Insight. She's a spiritual teacher, public speaker, and author. And what I loved in your little description of yourself is you're changing the world from the inside out. And I feel that so deeply because I've seen it happen within me. So we're just going to start there. Like, how did you get to that space where you recognize that? And what was your journey to that self-awareness?
Okay, it's been quite a journey. So at this point, I have this crazy power within me, right? So I can actually go inside my physical body, focus intently. So put my attention, my awareness on some place with tension, and mm-hmm. it will release. So I'm releasing tension wow. in my connective tissue, in my bones. My skull has shifted. I've grown. I've decompressed 3/4 of an inch in my 50s.
Wow.
Because of that release of the burden that we've been carrying all those years. And mm-hmm, so I can do this crazy stuff inside of me now. So I know I'm changing myself inside. I can put my awareness inside. So I'm looking around inside my body, from inside my body. But clearly I did not start there. I didn't even know this was possible, right?
Right, so right.
Yeah, it's been a journey. And I started out the journey just trying to find inner peace because I was so reactionary. I had PTSD. I was just jumpy all the time. And I just couldn't go on like that. Something had to change. And I was so determined to change because I tried things over the years. Like I tried many different things, kind of more outside me type things, you know, trying doing cleanses and changing my diet and all things. I'd read things, I'd listen to things, just all, but that's all outside, right? That's not really working on the inside. And it wasn't till I really started that journey and was determined to keep going that things started to shift.
How did you, what practices did you start to go within?
Well, it happened after what I call a business altercation with a couple of other mothers at my boys' school. So these women were not like me. I was the scared mother on the inside. And these were these self-confident, self-assured, authority-type women in my mind. That's how I saw them. And they told me I'd done something wrong. And my mind just spun out of control. I just could not stop my mind beating me up, you know, saying all the things I could have said, but I didn't say it, or I said them wrong. Just, I could not stop it for 3 days. I could hardly sleep. Ooh. And it was just so crazy. I knew at that point, okay, this is not normal. I'm not normal. So that was what kind of spurred me on. And it was in that time frame, I went to a doctor's appointment. Now, I can't remember why I went to him, but it was nothing to do with my history. It was something that was happening right then. But he happened to recognize that I was more stressed than I should be. And he was a holistic physician. So he had more tools in his toolbox. Right. So he asked me on a scale of 0 to 10 what my stress level was. And it was an 8 out of 10. And then he asked me why. Because I was a stay-at-home mother with 2 healthy young boys at the time. It shouldn't have been that stressful. But it was that question that made me realize, okay, it was finding my mother dead on the bathroom floor when I was 19. Because the tears from that event 2 decades prior were still just under the surface all those years later. So he happened to know the technique that is called EFT, which is short for Emotional Freedom Technique. It's also called tapping because we're tapping on meridian points as we're talking something through. So he tapped with me about my mother's death for about 15 minutes. You know, a holistic physician can take the time to do that, which is
right.
And I walked away from that appointment being able to tell the story of her death in my mind for the first time ever without those tears. And that's when I realized that we hold all those memories and those emotions physically in our body and that we can let them go. I've never experienced that before. It was such a huge revelation to me that that was the start of my journey. I went home that day. I learned everything I could about EFT because it was given away for free by Gary Craig. He just gave it to the world because he knew how powerful it was. So I started doing it. I actually, have an engineering background and have that kind of mind that really believe like one time, is that really, was that a fluke maybe, right? I wanted to try it out on something first. So I had a 17-year-old cat at home at the time, and his kidneys were starting to fail. And we'd be told we had to give him a daily saline shot, like an injection, a saline solution. And I hated injections. So the first time I gave my shot, my hand was shaking so badly. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it every day. It was just too stressful. So I thought, okay, let me try out this technique. So I tapped about every aspect of it, which is something you do with EFT. So I tapped about my hand shaking. I tapped about my fear of hurting my cat. And I tapped about all the memories I had from all the injections I had had over the years, because I'd had many. And the next day, when I gave him the shot, the needle just slid right in. All that fear that had been living inside of me the day before had totally disappeared. And that's when I realized EFT was really powerful at that point, but I also realized the freedom that I was seeking was on the other side of all those emotions. And I was determined to get there. So that's when I started out. I started noticing during the day when I was emotional. And when I would tap. I would bring myself back to peace by fully accepting the emotion, right? So if I'm feeling frustrated, I would tap about feeling frustrated until the frustration had eased. And over the days and the weeks, I found I was getting more calm during the day, which was my goal, right? Inner peace was my goal. But I wanted more because it was so nice. I wanted more and I wanted it faster. So I wrote down every trauma that I could think of from my childhood, like all the big ones, all the little ones, all the embarrassments, the humiliations, the phrases my dad would use. And I tapped through one each night for about an hour to an hour and a half each night until I'd gone through them. And things just started to change. I just would notice that I was peaceful when I had used to be triggered by things. I would notice that my mind was quiet when it used to have all this, this judgments, self-critical voices in my head. I realized that they had gone. And it felt like I was living in a different reality. It was so different. But what I realized is as that was happening, that's the opening up of the subconscious mind. So we start noticing things or becoming aware of more details from our past that had been hidden before. And as that's happening, our self-awareness deepens. Now, that's a phrase, and I know you talk about awareness quite a bit as well. I had not known what awareness meant, and certainly not what self-awareness meant. But as I went through this journey, it became more and more obvious. Because when I started out, I was not aware. I didn't know what my emotions were on a day-to-day basis because I'd suppressed them for so long. But I became aware of my emotions, and then I became aware at the next deeper level, which is the physical sensations underneath the emotions. So, something like frustration, it's a word we use, right? We'll say I'm frustrated, but what we're really saying, we're really describing where we're holding tension in our body, which we associate with the word frustration. But so once you become aware of where you're holding that tension, and for me, frustration is like in my rib cage, my solar plexus area. Once I was aware of that, I didn't use EFT as much. I use what I call feeling your feelings or feeling my feelings, which is what I talk about as a second step on my journey.
I love that so much because I also have left brain background, as I'm guessing you know that. And to start feeling the feelings, I have a dear sister named Angela who taught me somatic healing. And this morning, I was just laying in bed, and I felt just tears flowing. I have no idea what they were connected with, but it felt like happy tears. So I was just present with the tears. And it's such a far cry from 3 years ago, I'll even say, to be able to open up to just feeling that. And it's, for me, it's like what we're supposed to be, is like that state of emotional being, feeling. And yet it seems like such a chasm between the left brain and the heart.
Yeah, we're so programmed to suppress it that those feelings themselves don't know how to let go. Right? They don't know how to be felt. So the way I started doing it was at the time I was in a group and we were studying A Course in Miracles. And the kind of leader of the group, every week he would say, "You don't have to meditate. It's all about feeling your feelings." Well, that's when I started my EFT journey. So I was doing EFT outside of the group, and then I'd go to this weekly group, and he would say this every week. But I didn't know at the beginning what feeling my feelings meant because I wasn't aware of them, right? I had to do that EFT work first to develop that awareness. And then when I became aware of what I was feeling, so the physical sensations underneath the emotions, one day I thought, okay, I know what they are. Let me try and do what he says. Right. If it's all about feeling your feelings, how do I feel my feelings? So I was doing the dishes at the kitchen sink and I noticed a thought that had some emotion, right? So even that takes practice, right? To be able to catch a thought and notice it's just a thought and there's some emotion attached to it. So when I could do that, I would think the thought and then notice where the tension was. So imagine it's something like, I'm afraid of making a phone call. Right, so that's a thought. I'm afraid of making this phone call, or I have to make this phone call. Where's the fear? So for me, the fear was in my solar plexus. So I would notice that fear and I would try and feel it. But it was so used to not being felt. So I noticed if I moved at all, I would lose my focus on it. Or if I took a deep breath, if I changed my breath, I would lose my focus on it. So what I did was I would hold myself like a statue. I'd notice when I could feel that fear, and then I'd stop right there. I wouldn't take any more breath or let any more out. I would just stop right there and focus on it. And I'd even talk to it. So I'd say things like, okay, I can feel this fear. I can feel you right there in my solar plexus. I just want to feel you. And at some point, I'd have to take a deep breath. And then I'd think the thought again, I'm afraid of making this phone call. And I would notice that that fear had shifted slightly. So I'd do the same thing again. And I would keep doing it again and again until the fear had dissipated. At which point, the thought is free of the fear, right? It becomes easy to make the phone call because I've released the resistance to it. So that's what I started doing. So it's like I try and work out the difference between, we talked about Michael Singer and his book, The Surrender Experiment, where he's just surrendering to whatever's happening. Now, there's kind of a couple of different ways of doing that, and Abraham Hicks talks through this as well, is that you can just kind of go with the flow, or you can notice the resistance and release the resistance, and then the flow has changed. So that's what I do. I notice the resistance that's there. And it's easy to avoid it, right? Because the flow is often somewhere where it feels better, right? It's much easier to eat the chocolate cake than not eat it, right? But I would find the resistance and let the resistance dissipate so that my world kind of opens up. So I just started doing that. Instead of tapping in the evenings, now I would lay on the sofa and I would bring some thought or some memory to mind. Now, I'd done my childhood at this point, so I would bring collective traumas to mind, something like 9/11 or the Loma Prieta earthquake that I was in, or the tsunami, those big things that we hear about on the news. I would bring the memories to mind and just notice that tension, sit with it, allow it to dissipate. And it felt really good, right? Because it's tension stored in the body for decades. It's got to feel good. And it does. So I just carried on doing that. And I realized my self-awareness again was deepening. And at some point, I noticed I could keep my awareness inside my body after the tension had dissipated.
Oh, cool.
It sounds really weird even to say it, but and it
No,
feels
but I think it's
really
really cool. I feel this is
yeah.
really cool because like I can be present to the sensations, and I had anxiety most of my life without knowing I had it. So as I started unwinding it, if I feel anxiety, whenever it comes up, I just present. I am so present to it and I just let it flow. And it doesn't matter what else is happening. I am present to that because it needs my attention. So I get that. And to go past that, that's a whole other level.
Yeah, and it was, and I didn't know what I was doing, but it did feel very different. I knew there was something different about it, and I just started to play with it because I didn't know what else to do because I'd never heard of it before. So I realized I could move my awareness around inside. So I moved it around, and I noticed I could find a place with tension versus a place with no tension. Right? It was almost like there was nothing there, or there was something there. So I would find the tension. And then I would do the same thing. I would focus on it, just to put my attention on the tension, just like you were saying, and do it for long enough that it would start to dissipate. So the tension inside would start to break down. So over the next few months, I started to work through my torso. I would find a place that had tension and just allow it to release. And eventually, it took a long time. I can't remember how long, but it took many, many months before I could put my awareness inside my head. And that was huge because there was so much pain and tension inside my left cheek. It was almost unbearable to put my focused attention on it. And I realized it had been there my whole life because I was born with my right foot up against my right shin. So my whole body was kind of torqued. And I don't know, still don't know whether it stems from my left cheek, but it's certainly a big part of it. And I would not have been able to bear that tension if I had been aware of it the whole time. But at this point, I had this technique. So I would focus on it a little bit, let it release a little bit. Eventually, I actually heard and felt something release. It was a little scary at the time because it sounded and it felt like old fabric ripping. So that's when I did some research and realized, okay, it's an adhesion in the connective tissue that is releasing the fascia. So it was okay. So I continued and have so much release every day at this point. But eventually got to a place where I could actually feel my skull bones relax. Now, I hadn't known they were not relaxed, right? Until they're relaxed, right? And so at this point, I've had some x-rays taken just through my orthodontic work and can see the physical changes that have happened. My eye sockets have aligned more. My jaw was way off to the side. It's much more centered now. And my neck is much straighter than it has ever been in my life. So that's the power we have inside of us, but it takes, steps to get there.
How long has this taken for you to
Well, I
master?
started in my late 30s, probably around 38, and I'm 57 now, so
So,
20
yeah, it's
years. And
I
at
love
this
that
point, I'm
though.
releasing the tension kind of inside my in my palate, in the sphenoid bone, in my atlas, in my neck, and it almost sounds like glass cracking because it's been stored for so long, this tension that's releasing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I didn't know this was possible before, so anyone can do it. It just
It's
right, it
just
takes the determination to do it.
And that's just so beautiful because like it's in quantum physics, it's like what you put your focus on like changes your reality. And so because you've spent so much time focusing on the inside, you literally have changed your reality, both internally and externally, because I'm sensing that as you've released that stress and those tensions that you didn't even know you had, that's probably even epigenetic, your world has shifted.
Absolutely. I mean, I wish I did all this before I had my children, right? That would have been the best, but oh well, better late than never. But yes, I mean, I'm totally calm. I mean, I actually go out of my way these days to find things that trigger me so I can heal at a deeper level. So for many, many years, I did not watch the news. while I was working through my own stuff, but now I watch the news. I want to know what those feelings are inside so I can access them and release them. So actually, just this last week, I actually started a what used to be called Twitter, an X account, and I will find a news article and I will look through my whole list of emotions. I wrote down two long lists of emotions and I will go through them. I will feel inside. Okay, what does that feel like? Disgust is a feeling that comes up a lot still these days. So I write down the list of emotions and then I post those because I'm feeling inside to feel those subtle sensations inside for those subtle emotions. You know, it's easy to say to begin with, you know, we think we're either mad or we're frustrated or we're sad, but there's so many more intricate emotions that we can feel, which are more subtle feelings inside. So that's what I'm looking for these days.
I love, you know, and it just cracks me up. And I've been laughing on and off because I know that determination. I mean, I was in a story and not officially, I didn't have the title, but like I started doing research when I was 18. So I'm like, dig, 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 gotta find the answer, gotta find the answer. And in my journey, when I was working with my inner child, I brought that part of me in. And at one point, she said to me, "Stop, stop! You're bringing like 30 years of research to a 10-year-old. I can't handle this. This is like too much. Please stop." And then I was like, "Oh, because I was trying to find the solution. Like that's where my mind was. Like because I can find it. Like I know when I've done research, I can find anything." And so I turned that on my inner child, and she was traumatized.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we do try and find the answers to things, and I've noticed as I've gone along this journey, even that is a form of bypassing, right? Because we're not actually focusing on how we're feeling right now, and that's what's coming up for attention, is how we're feeling right now. So as soon as we start to ask why, you know, what's behind this, we come out of the body back into the mind, and we've avoided feeling what's in the body.
That's what she pretty much whacked me upside the head with. She's like, "Can you let me just feel?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay." Because I was like, I need to figure out what it is. And since I've released that need to figure out, I've been gifted mosaics of how the trauma was formed from my non-physical self, so I could get the big picture now that I'm not focused on it. And so that gives me more compassion. Like that gives my adult self more compassion to open up more to whatever is going on inside so I can open myself up to being more present.
Nice. And one of the things that I didn't realize when I started this journey, and people have a hard time realizing even when I tell them these days, but as we release the tension, a memory will often pop into our mind. So we'll get the reason, right? The reason will be shown to us, and maybe it's another event that was similar in our past, and then we can feel through that if we want to. But we don't have to search for the answer because the answer will be shown to us.
Yes, it's truly fascinating because it releases that need to figure out.
Yeah, because it's literally stored together in the body. The tension is holding that memory, and as we release the tension, the memory is released and comes to mind. So yeah, it's a fascinating thing, really.
It really is because our body, I mean, they are our temples. And we forget that, you know, we are spirit incarnate in this temple, and how we show up for the temple is going to help us navigate that body spirit connection more.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, it's all connected. Yeah. I believe our soul is actually tied. I believe our soul kind of resides somewhere in our head. Not entirely sure where, but I'm looking from somewhere. So I don't know if I'm looking from the soul, but anyway, when I'm looking inside, I'm looking from somewhere. And I believe it is tied into the body through this tension in the connective tissue. So it kind of gets stuck. It's not free to live in this world. It's not a true self. Our true self is being held down by this tension, by our past. So as we do this inner work, which could be called shadow work, I like to call it inner work, as we release the tension from our past, our soul gets freed up to live this life, to be its true self in this life. So it's all connected, I believe.
Oh, I definitely feel that. And I like the phrase inner self more too, because the shadow work still infers that this is still doing the work. The looking
Yeah,
for the shadow.
I do like the shadow, the phrase shadow, because I can sense inside. I can sense the tension and the no tension, and the tension is dark. And as it releases, the light that's underneath shines through. It was already there underneath. All we need to do is find that darkness or the shadow and release it. It's just we're doing that inside, right? It's inner work. But I do think shadow work is also could be a good term from it, as long as people realize that you're going inside to find it.
And it's more of the feeling state than the thinking state.
Right. Yes. It's out of the thinking mind and it's in the feeling mind. It's in the sensing mind. And that I remember that being hard for me to understand, right? Until you start to experience it. It's like, okay, so how does your right knee feel right now? Right. If you put your focus on the feeling of that right knee, while you're doing that, you're not thinking, right? You're actually feeling. So that's what it's all about, actually getting into the body and feeling those sensations.
No, I love that because it's so. What I've noticed with myself is the more I focus on here, the less I care about anything outside of me. It's not being selfish, it's just like this is a full-time job to pay attention to what's going on within me. And so as an example, when I edit a podcast, I'm paying attention to what's going on, and then after I edit, I get up and I stretch. I do this amazing kidney meridian thumping thing that I just learned last week to like get the chi working again. And if I don't do it, I'm like this by the end of the day, and my body is mad at me. So it's really truly, even if I'm not, if I'm, you know, I'm doing two things, I'm listening to the podcast and I'm taking, well, three things, taking notes and paying attention to my body. But if I don't pay attention to my body while I'm doing it, I suffer.
Yes, so you're becoming more in the moment with it, which is great. Yes. Yeah. So I use everything outside me as a tool to find out what's happening inside of me, right? So am I being triggered by this person or this thing that I'm watching or I'm listening to? Yeah, then I will go inside, feel how I'm feeling, notice it and work with it to release it. Yeah, and then move on to the next thing. Yeah.
I love that. And I love that determination.
Yeah, well,
I
it feels
respect
so
that so
good.
much.
And people don't realize how much depth there is to life, right? So that phrase, as within, so without, absolutely true. It's totally true. So the deeper we know ourselves on the inside, the deeper or the more depth we see in life on the outside, where we start to understand why things are happening. We can see from other people's perspectives. We can notice if we're tense inside or where we're tense inside, we can notice that in other people, right? Which makes life more fun. But
Oh,
also
yeah.
the tension in our body is released, right? So I used to feel really heavy. I mean, I was never particularly overweight, but I felt heavy. And that has gone, right? So I feel like now it's easy to laugh, right? It's much easier to just be loose and free. The tension in my head has released, not all of it, still working on it, but I can sing notes now that I couldn't sing before. So my voice
That's
has
cool.
changed. Yeah, because it's our echo chamber, right? Our head is our echo chamber for our voice. So the more you release the tension, I guess the more pleasant the voice becomes. So there's all sorts of things that happen that bring a depth to life. Also, I can feel music inside my body. I can not just hear them. Right? I can the music, I can feel it inside my body,
Mm.
which makes listening to music so much more satisfying, right? So there's all this depth to life that I didn't know was available to us before, and I don't think most people know is available to us. So it's absolutely worth doing this journey, go along
Yeah.
this journey, because it's such a great journey. Even though at the beginning, it can feel daunting to have to go back through all the traumas in your life and relive those emotions. But once I realized it's just those emotions are just energy that is stuck in the body. It just wants attention. Once it's given attention, it will release. And that's where the
Yeah.
freedom is. It's on the other side of all those stuck emotions.
I agree, and I just got a hit while you were talking about the music. So whenever I listen to something new, I close my eyes so I can really take in the music because I don't want anything to distract me from being present to whatever the tones are. And music has always spoken to me very deeply. So it's curious to like, the next time I hear a song, I don't know. I've been on this ABBA kick lately. I have no idea why. But ABBA brings, because the songs are totally codependent and they're really bad, but they're very catchy. So I hear the song and I see my body starting to dance. And so I'm listening to what's going on with, because I've always listened to lyrics, but like just listening to the tones, trying to get away from the lyrics because I know they're also dysfunctional. Love but the actual sound, like in the melodies and the way they harmonize with one another, and ignoring, and it's hard to ignore the lyrics, but like just putting them aside for the actual structure of the song, and seeing how I respond to that is really, really fascinating.
Fun. Yes. And if the lyrics, if words trigger us, right, we can always tap through them and release
True.
the trigger, because they're just words, right? They're just
True.
words. So that was one of the
True.
things I learned on my journey, is like when I was still doing the EFT and I was getting deeper and deeper and deeper, I tapped, and I don't recommend this right at the beginning, but I tapped on the phrase, I hate myself, because I did. And I tapped on it for probably, I don't know, hours, but it was hours over a period of maybe a week or two. And I got to the place where there were just three words. I hate myself. Three words. Could be counted as four, but three words. They're just words, right? They had lost their emotional components, right? They didn't trigger me anymore. They're just words, right? So if
Right.
you can even think that with a song, even just intellectually think, okay, they're just words.
Right.
And just allow them to be.
Yeah, I love that because take a chance on me. Serious codependency. Catchy.
Yes.
I wrote a couple other notes down because I'm just feeling that I'm being guided to look at them. How have you, and actually, this is not, and I just looked at the word and I'm like, okay, so how have you seen your awareness of your spiritual self come in through this process?
Well, try and define that for me a little bit more, because
Okay, so
we have a different
true,
meaning.
true. So as you've tuned in more to the feelings and sensations in your body, have you been able to connect more deeply to your intuition, to your guides, to your inner knowing of deeper awareness of that spiritual connection that you are, or that spiritual being that you are?
Yeah, definitely intuition and definitely knowing. I have knowing of a lot of things now that were probably beliefs before, but I know things now that I didn't know before. I don't go out of my mind. A lot of people talk about the spiritual realm as being, like you said, maybe guides or other beings or whatever. Kind of, I think of that as being outside of the body and outside of the mind. This whole process I've been on is more grounding in this life, in this body, right? And I believe once the soul is freed up in this body, it will be quite happy to stay in this body. without having to go outside the mind. I think a lot of the people who are taking different substances these days to have a spiritual experience, I think that's almost the soul leaving the body. Whereas this whole process
That
is the
makes
soul
sense.
grounding in this body, right? Experiencing this life. So that's,
That completely makes sense.
I do feel like as the tension is releasing and the soul is being freed up, I believe we're a signal, like we're emitting a signal and we're tuning in based on our signal. So I believe that we're tuning in to spirit much more easily once the tension has released. Otherwise, it's being distorted, and that's how the ego shows through, right? But once the tension is released, then we're able to tune in so much more easily.
That's beautiful. Just reflect on that because it's a fascinating journey of. So the more I've meditated and done somatic healing, I also feel like this deepening of self-knowing and awareness of things that are sh like shifting within me to help me see more deeply what subconscious things I have that are still stuck inside. And while I know I am way more than my little ego tells me I am, when I find a spot that is tense and just wants me to be present, it does feel like I'm releasing another gripping.
Which is another layer, and it possibly has memories attached to it. So we can access our past through all these different layers, right? We can access it through memories. So that's what I did when I wrote down all my traumas. And the way to know if they've been cleared out is, can you talk through a very traumatic memory and not have any emotions come back up, right? If it sounds like you're reading a story from a book, then you know you've cleared out the emotions. But if there's anything you're holding back, then there's still work to do. There's still something left inside. So that's at that level. But then there's also the physical level, right? The tension level. If there's anywhere in your body that is holding tension, that is also something that you can work with, and you can work through it with words, right? So if you use this technique EFT, you could tap through it, you know, something like, I can feel this tension in my right foot. I can feel this tension in my right foot, and the tapping releases the energy that's stored in the nervous system about the right foot. And as you're talking through it, you're putting your focus on the right foot. So that's one way of working through it. But you can also do the feeling the feelings. You can focus on the right foot and feel the right foot itself, and let it release. Now, there might be some memories, right, from some time you hurt your right foot, right? Then that might pop up. But at some point, I think at the point I am at now, I'm releasing tension that was stored pre-verbally. So no memories are coming up. I'm just releasing tension
Oh,
itself.
wow. That's amazing. So I just had another thought pop in. So I can't remember the word for it, but so 2010. Well, when I was 10, I fell on a piece of slate and broke my nose. And so in 2010, I got it fixed. And what happened was, in the process, they scraped some of the nerves. And I just realized it this week because I've had tension here, like an ache, but it's like a nerve thing. So in this process, when you have something like that, how have you, or have you been able to see something that's caused by an operation that has affected nerves? Are you able to bring that into presence? Because it's not something that, I mean, I guess it's trauma. I'm beginning to answer my own question, but like bringing that level of focus to those areas that were an external experience that affected the internal experience.
I've heard of it with EFT. There's a lady who, I think one of her nasal passages was blocked, and she'd had multiple surgeries, and she unblocked it just using tapping, using EFT. So I know that that can be the case. You've got to be willing with the feeling the feelings. You've got to be willing to allow the pain to get worse,
Okay.
before it necessarily gets better, because often the pain is diffuse, right? We've suppressed it because we don't want to feel it. So it's more of a diffuse pain. And as we release the layers, it becomes more focused. We become aware of how much pain really we were hiding. And then you can focus on it intently and release it. So that is something you could work with on all the different levels, right? So that's what I would do. So I would work with it with EFT. I would tap through the falling on the slate. I would tap through the memories of the event itself and the aftermath, right? The recovery, and maybe we would tease, right? All the different aspects of it. And then the surgery later. I mean, there must have been a reason why you waited to have surgery, right? So something must have been hurting or not working right in those years in between. I would tap on those, and then I would tap on the surgery itself and what's happening now, right? That it feels like there's some numbness or some pain somewhere. I would tap through all that through words, right? And see what releases, and then maybe go and feel the physical itself and work with the feeling, the feelings aspect. And you might have to use a finger or something to keep your awareness on it, right? To focus on it. And that can help you
That's
pinpoint it.
interesting because I was curious because like I don't have, I mean that's the only surgery I can recall. And it just came in as a question because I'm sure other people are experiencing this. It's like when there's something external happening, but it's all within.
Right. Now, someone who's had some, like some hardware added, right, from a broken bone, I don't know that this would be a good thing to do, right? Because the metal is in there, right? So you might want to keep that diffuse, that pain, right? You might not want to have to be specific. So yeah, I'm not sure in that case.
No, that completely makes sense, but like it does, I'm feeling the resonance of it because for years I thought it was my kidney meridian and I love meridians. It's like I know I was a Chinese traditional doctor in some previous lifetime because it just resonates so deeply. But when I tuned in, I was like, yeah, but no, I'm not feeling any pain in my kidney. I'm just feeling pain in the nerves. And that's more than the kidneys. So I've been excuse me, switching my focus to like providing support for that. And so that's very beautiful suggestion that I'll bring into my
Okay, so one
practice.
thing to add for that to that, based on what you just said, I don't normally talk about this because it's hard to get your mind around a little bit, but when I'm focusing inside, I do believe I'm focusing through the connective tissue, and the connective tissue goes through everything, right? So I can't tell if I'm in a particular organ. I can just tell where I am in 3D space. Right, so it might be in an organ, right, but it doesn't feel any different from anywhere else because it's just the connective tissue which is everywhere. I can feel a difference between bone and non-bone because it's a little bit denser in bone. So I think the tension is stored in the connective tissue. So it might be if we have kidney issues, it might be that the connective tissue in or through or around the kidney is tense, which then disrupts the kidney itself, right? And the meridian systems are also connected to the connective tissue. It's all connected. But I don't feel through the meridians. I can't sense a particular meridian. It's just throughout.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's some of the knowing that comes, right? When you experience it yourself, there's things that you know because you can experience it.
Oh, that's beautiful. So I want to talk a little bit about your book.
Sure.
What was the inspiration and what does it entail?
Well, I wrote it after I was able to put my awareness inside because I didn't want to forget the steps. I didn't want to forget all the intricacies of the things that had happened along the way. And Kundalini energy was part of the journey. things called kriyas. I don't even know how you
Oh,
say it.
yep.
I didn't even know that word at the time, but the body starts to unwind tension that had been stored for so long, and it does some weird things along the way. So I wanted to write all of that down and my understanding of how we store that tension in the first place. So that's what the book is. It's that understanding and then the three different techniques that I use to unwind all of that. And I've also come out with a workbook that asks the questions to bring up the shadow, to bring up all the traumas if someone wants to work through their traumas themselves as well. So that's available.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Because that's like, I just feel like, given the shifts that we're experiencing in consciousness right now, and how many people are waking up, having those tools to start unwinding is so important.
It is, yeah, and it takes work. There's a lot of people who kind of think they're on the spiritual journey, and think that that just happens using the mind, but really it isn't. It needs some active work on the body, right? That's why I like about EFT, because you're actually tapping on the physical body itself. It needs that somatic aspect to it in order to release it. It doesn't just happen on its own. It takes some work to do.
That would be cool. Like, here, you're better.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, Eckhart Tolle says that that was his experience, right? That it just happened. It may be that it did, but I think there's more to it.
I sense in my own, I mean, I've had a nice slow journey of remembering, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with
Yes.
that.
Yeah. Especially with something like Kundalini, you know, there's people out there who talk about the Kundalini energy and how that just alters their life so negatively. But I think when it happens just gently, the way it's supposed to happen, I actually enjoyed it. So
I
I'm
won't
glad
say I
that you
enjoyed
did.
it all the time, but I appreciate it. I have a couple, I know a couple people in my life that have had full Kundalini awakenings, and ooh, it's so rough on the body.
Right. Yes, and it can be. I think unless you do it slowly and it just happens as it's supposed to happen. I mean, I didn't, I had, yeah, I don't think any of us really know what it is when it's happening, but anyway, it's just part of the journey in my experience. And there's a
Same.
life beyond it, right? Because it stopped at some point, and that was the point when I was able to put my awareness inside my body, right? It released enough tension that had been stored inside that then I could do that.
That's so beautiful. So I'm going to ask you one final question, and that is, how do people find you?
Okay, there's all sorts of ways these days. I have my website, which is annhintz.com. It's my name. I'm very active on Facebook, trying to be more on Instagram, and I have this X account. But I also have a YouTube channel that I have quite a few videos on there that try and go into depth in the journey and the different steps. So if someone doesn't have access to the book, they can go and pretty much learn everything using those YouTube videos. And you can contact me through any of those methods.
Anne, thank you so much for your time and sharing your journey and the wisdom and your practices. And I'm just so grateful
Thank
for this
you. Thank you. It's a
opportunity.
great conversation. I love these conversations.
Me too. So much love to you.
Thank you.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.